Good morning. So good to have you guys here. Great day, fantastic day today. Before we go into the sermon, I have just one announcement to make, and that's about a wedding. There's a wedding coming up of George and Irene. These guys will be getting married on the 23rd of April. Yeah, let's hear it for them. That's our first wedding in 2022, and there's a lot that will happen. This year, we're kind of doing a premarital counseling with 12 couples, so there's a lot of weddings to look forward to. If you have anything else against these guys, why they shouldn't get married, you can have a chat with them. If they don't listen to you, come have a chat with me. But be praying for them as they prepare for that day. Their wedding will actually happen out in Blanta at a place called Game Heaven. Beautiful space. They'll be getting married there. All of you are welcome. If you can find your own transport to go to Game Heaven, you can join us as we celebrate them. Let's just take a moment to just pray. There's a lot of things happening in the world, and if you know someone else that's suffering, or maybe they're sick, or they're going through a rough time, would you please lift them up in prayer to God this time? Yeah, just take a moment to pray for people. God, we pray for anybody else that might be going through a rough time right now. Maybe they're sick or they're going through just a hard time, a heartbreak, a loss. Whatever people are going through, God, I pray may you be the God to them. I pray may they experience your comfort and your presence in their pain. And I pray, Father, for your spirit to dwell with them, your spirit to engulf them so they can experience you, God. And we pray for healing for those that are sick. May you heal them. I pray for those that are living without hope right now, that you'll be their hope. You'll be the light that shines brighter than the darkness they're in. And I just pray, Father, for grace that you will strengthen them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So today I'm starting a new sermon series that will just go for 3 weeks. It's going to be a three-part sermon series, really just paying attention to where we're at the moment, where we, looking into Easter. And Easter reminds us of the cross, reminds us of the death of Jesus. And I think it's always great for us to go back to the basics, to where this whole Christianity thing starts. Actually, it starts with Jesus, who comes into the world and he dies. He dies a very painful death on the cross. And I think it's good for us to remind ourselves. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing that. We're reminding ourselves of this truth, of this reality, that the death of Jesus on the cross is the evidence of a God who triumphs through pain, through suffering. Jesus becomes victorious, and he does that through suffering. So the bottom line for this sermon series is invited by love to go for what's best for us. Because when you look at the cross, you see the love of God being displayed. The love of God being displayed for you, the love of God being displayed for me. And often when we look at the cross, we see the cross as the means or the tool that God uses to triumph over sin. But we should be very, very careful to not make the mistake of focusing more on the two rather than on the king who lies on the two. And when we look at the cross as the tool that God uses to triumph over sin, we can focus more on the two. But we should look at the Lord who triumphs through the cross, because then we begin to glorify and we begin to pay more attention on the king, on the Lord, on the God who uses a tool. It could have been another tool, but this time was the cross that he had used. So one thing, when we look at the cross, we are reminded that actually the cross becomes an invitation for us to go closer to the one who loves us the most, and that's God. That through the cross, God loves those who do not deserve love. And that's you and me. God gives grace to those that don't deserve grace. And that's you and me. But also through the cross, there is an invitation for us to leave behind the things that are not good for us and embrace that which is best for us. And that's Jesus. That we can truly experience how life looks like, how life feels like when we go to Jesus and we embrace that which he has done for us. Because when we do that, we experience restoration. Now, restoration in scripture is not just putting things back the way they were. Actually, it's making things better. Better than they were. That's what it is in scripture. In fact, scripture loves to talk about the latter glory being better than the former glory. That in God, restoration is not just putting things back to the in the shape that they were originally, but actually making everything else better. So we have called this sermon series Restoration. Restoration, as we're reminding ourselves of the cross. And today we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 16. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Jesus, thank you for your death, and thank you for your life. That through your death, we experience life. We are so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, please go ahead and have a seat. When you look at this passage, you kind of like see two realities. First of all, you see our reality with that God. Our reality with God. How does that look like? Our reality with God, first of all, is that when we don't have God in our lives, we tend to get attached to the wrong things. We tend to get attached to the wrong stuff. Paul here says in verse 13, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Here, Paul assumes that before you were united with Jesus Christ, you were actually united to something else. You were one with some other stuff. You were attached to something else. And, you know, you have to go through a process of detachment so that you can get attached to Jesus Christ. And when Christ is not present in your life, you tend to get attached to the wrong stuff. And often without actually knowing it. Do you remember the time, when you were deep in sin, but you couldn't actually see that you were deep in sin? Yeah? I remember the time I was so deep in sin that I couldn't see. And it just takes the grace of God to actually bring that to light. And then when you are on the other side, then you can see behind and be like, I cannot believe how far I was, how deep I was in that sinful behavior. Because without Jesus Christ, we will be attached to the wrong stuff. Because we have no compass for truth. We have no compass for what actually it looks like to be on a journey towards God. Because he is not there. He is not there. So a life without God, us apart from God, we get attached to the wrong stuff. And secondly, apart from God, we tend to build walls. We tend to build walls apart from God. Apart from Christ, it's so hard for us to look out for other people. We tend to be selfish. Apart from Jesus, we tend to build walls. You know, Paul here is talking about Christ, the work that Jesus Christ did, came and broke the wall of hostility. The wall of hostility. That without Jesus Christ, there was this war between these two groups, the Jews and the non-Jews, or called the Gentiles. There was a massive
war. And in fact, this war made both groups to see differences in each other. And when they saw these differences, instead of these differences being celebrated, they were actually feared. Because without Jesus, what is different is more feared than celebrated. And this happens quite a lot. Before Jesus, it was so hard for the Jews or the non-Jews to celebrate the diversity of food in each other, or the diversity of clothing, or the diversity of color, or the diversity of culture. They failed to celebrate that. They failed to celebrate and to see that, actually, these differences shouldn't make us afraid, but we should celebrate these differences. And they let their differences determine how they would treat each other. They did. Now, I must also say that every culture has things that must be rejected because they're sinful things in that culture. Every culture has things that must be rejected because they're sinful. But also every culture has things that must be redeemed because these are good things that are being misused. For example, let's say music. You know, you can use music for good, but also for bad, you know. So you have every culture's thing that need to be redeemed. These are good things, but they're being misused. Can we go and redeem those things? And then every culture has things that needs to be celebrated because they are good things. We need to celebrate them. And these guys, their problem was to see that every difference that they had was to be rejected. Because you do that thing differently from the way I do it, that different thing needs to be rejected. They did not see that. Actually, there are some things that can be redeemed from this culture, and there's some things that can be celebrated because they're actually good things. So we must be very, very careful, because when you let differences determine how you treat people, you will fail to see people as God's image bearers. That these people are actually created in the image of God, and they bear the image of God. But when Jesus comes in, he brings a difference. And for Jews and Gentiles, they allow their differences to determine how they'll treat each other. So our reality apart from God is that we're going to build walls. Our reality apart from God is that we're going to get attached to the wrong stuff. What's our second reality? It's our reality with God. And you see it in this passage, that our reality with God, we can see that better through the way of the cross. That Christ dies on the cross. He dies a very painful death. But actually his death is an invitation. His death builds something else beautiful. And through the cross, we see a couple of things. Number one, through the cross, we see that Christ reconnects. First of all, he reconnects us to God. That we get connected to God in Christ through the cross. Verse 13 says, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near. You've been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. Through the cross, we have a relationship with our God. And this is beautiful. This is amazing. What does that mean? First of all, it means that we have a new status. Now we have a new status in God, because he says, you were very far from God, but now you've been brought near. You've been brought near to God. Now you have a new status. That means that your standing with God is way different than it used to be. Before, your standing with God was non-existent. But actually, your standing with God now is right. You now have a better standing with God. That means you have a new status. You have a new status in God. Our standing with God has changed. We are no longer enemies of God. But now we have a better standing with God. We are closer to our God. So that means we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention that this status that we have in God, this new status that we have in God, is actually not gained or earned. It's given. It's a given. This status is given as a gift to us, because we did not bring ourselves to God. But Christ brought us near to God. He brought us near to God, and he did this through the blood that was shed on the cross. Your status with God, your standing with God is now different because of what Jesus Christ has done. And what does this mean if you have now a new status in God? Because now you're near to God, it means you will be changed and your perception will be changed. Like the way you see God will be changed, because you're going to see God as the Father who is for you. You're going to see God as the Father who moves and walks with you. He's not against you. He's there to help you. Your perception will change. Your priorities will change. Your priorities will change. We're going to begin to pursue things that he considers to be important. What God considers to be important, I will embrace that for myself. Because now my priorities will change. I'll begin to love him. I'll begin to love him. To love God. You're not just going to love God for the things that he gives you, but you love God for God. That I embrace God. I love my God. Because now my priorities have changed. Because I have a new status in God. My affections change. Because I have a status with God. I begin to desire what he desires. I begin to love what God loves. Because my affections will change. Because now I'm no longer far from God. I'm near. I'm closer to God. You're closer to God. And you see, when you get closer to God, you see how beautiful God is. You see how sweet he is. You see how amazing he is. You see how precious he is. So you're connected to God. And through that connection, he has given you a new status. But also, not only has he given us a new status, but he has given us a new identity. He's given us a new identity in Christ. Because here Paul says, but now you've been united with Christ. Now you've been united with Christ. What that means is that now you are one with Christ. You are one with Christ now. There's sameness. There's sameness there. Your identity, you have now a new identity in Jesus. You're no longer going to be called a Gentile. No longer going to be called a Jew or that or this or that. Now you carry a new identity in God. Now when it comes to identity, you also need to embrace the same thing, that your identity in Christ is not gained or earned, but it's given. It's given as a gift to you. And when you see that, you will consider that actually when you're talking about your identity in Christ, it does not start with you. It starts with God. You see what God says about you first. And you want to embrace that. Because in Christ, God sees you as forgiven. In Christ, God sees you as chosen. That's your identity. Have you felt abandonment recently? Have you put your faith in Christ? Guess what? God sees you as chosen. In Christ, God sees you as blessed. Oh, maybe things are not going well in your life, and we always connect blessings with money, right? Like, if things are moving great, then I'm blessed. But if they are not, I'm not blessed. No, you have every spiritual blessing. In Christ, you are blessed. In Christ, you are justified. You are justified. Some of you maybe are feeling filthy today because of something that happened. But if you offer your life to Jesus, you are justified. You are though as one who has no sin. You are without sin in Jesus. In Christ, you are loved. You are loved in Christ. Maybe you feel like not loved. Maybe you feel like not worthy of love. But your identity in Christ is that you are loved. Your identity in Christ is that you are accepted. Even though you got rejected by that person or this week. But in Christ, you are accepted. In Christ, you are welcome. In Christ, you are beautiful. In Christ, you are delightful. In Christ, you are good to look at. You are pleasing to God. You are pleasing to God. You are pleasing to God. Yes, you are pleasing to God. And that's your identity. And because God sees these things in you, because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and what we do is we confess that as truth in our lives.
Now, the reason why we start with seeing God, seeing what God sees about us or says about us, is that when we are confessing these things, we begin to embrace that which God has already for us. So when you say, I am loved by God, you're not trying to gain God's love. You're already loved by God. What you're doing, when you say, I'm loved by God, what you're doing is you're trying to help your heart embrace the truth that God already has for you, that God has already said about you. When you say, I'm accepted in God, in Christ, you're helping your heart embrace that truth, because that's already truth. Because you're not accepted because of the stuff that you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. You're not loved because of what you have done, but what Christ has done for you, what Jesus Christ has done for you. So Christ reconnects us to God by giving us a new status and giving us a new identity. And are you willing to embrace that new identity and live like one who is forgiven and live like one who is loved and live like one who is accepted and live like one who is pleasing to God? Are you willing to live that? Because when you do that, then you truly believe what Christ has done for you on the cross. That's faith. I trust in what he has done, and therefore I will live like one. I'll live like one. I'll live as though I'm forgiven. In my thought life, I'll live as though I'm forgiven. In my actions, I'll live as though I'm forgiven, because you are forgiven if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because your status and your identity are not earned but given, and you just have to receive them. Not only does Christ reconnect us to God, but also he reconnects us to other people. In Jesus Christ, we have a better connection with other people. Verse 14 says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. The Jews and Gentiles saw a lot of things that were different and saw a lot of things that separated them. And they had no relationship with each other. But through Jesus Christ, Paul says, hey guys, there's something else amazing that has happened here, because Christ has brought peace to us. We no longer have to live in hostility. So therefore, there is union between the Jews and the Gentiles, and we are made into one people. We're made into one people in his body on the cross. Hostility is gone. We can no longer remain as though we are divided. We are now a one people. What connects us is far more precious than what divides us, he tells him. We have something better, that we have union with each other. And the best is that we have so much better. So much better. Your temptation, my temptation, is often to associate ourselves with people that look like us, with people that speak like us, with people that smell like us, with people that like the same food like us. Yeah? We like to do that a lot. And for these guys, this was a reality of their lives. You know, a Jew and a non-Jew wouldn't hang out together, wouldn't eat together. If they would, there would be trouble, there would be qualms, and people wonder what's actually really going on. But through the cross becomes a better foundation for our connection with each other. It becomes a better foundation for us to connect with each other. So it says you have something better, something amazing, something beautiful that God uses to connect you to each other, and thus the cross. So therefore, we have a connection with God, but also we have a connection with one another. Are we going to still have differences? Of course you will. Are you going to still like different kind of food? Of course, yes. You know, some people love pizza, some people love mice. That's okay. That's good. It's good stuff. Sausage on the stick. If you know what I mean. Yeah. So through the cross, we have a connection with God, and we have a connection with other people. Now, for us to have a connection with God and to have a connection with other people, it means there are things that need to be removed. There are things that must be removed so that we can embrace each other, so that we can be in union with God. So that means
through the cross, Christ removes. First of all, he removes the barriers that we had between us and God. He removes those barriers. They go, they're gone. Verse 13 says, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far from God, but now you've been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. Once you were far, it means there were things that kept you far from God. Once you were far from God, it means you embraced stuff that kept you far from God. But through Christ, you've been brought near. And he breaks the barriers that were keeping you far from God. What are your barriers right now? Is it shame? Is it shame? Is shame keeping you away from God? What is the barrier that's keeping you away from God? Is it sin? What's the barrier that's keeping you away from God? Is it guilt? Is it failure? What's keeping you from God? Is it regret? Don't let shame or guilt or regret hinder you to have a connection with God. Don't let it hinder you to have a connection with God. Because when you let guilt or shame or regret or whatever it is, when you let it hinder you from having a connection with God, you begin to believe a lie. You believe a lie that you're responsible for your connection to God. You believe a lie that you can save yourself. You believe a lie that salvation essentially comes from you. But it does not, because we must not forget the one who's responsible for our connection to God. And that person is not you. That person is Jesus Christ. He's the one that's responsible for your connection to God, because he's the one that brings you closer. He's the one that brings you near to God. So it's not you that does the connection. It is Jesus who does that. So don't let guilt or shame stand in the way. Christ has created the way. If you're willing to confess your sin and repent, you will be united with God. And are you willing to believe in that? Because Christ has already done the work. He has done the work on your behalf and for you. He has done the work.